Okay, good evening, everybody. This evening's shiur, title is How to Make Tea and Coffee on Shabbos. I would like to go through the issue, and there's some necessary background information that's very important in order to appreciate the issue. So let us begin. One of the lamentas malachos, as you're all aware, is bishul, cooking. Cooking includes baking, frying, and cooking itself. There are many ways that one can cook something. It can either happen by a heat source through the medium of heat or through another form of heat specifically. Tonight I would like to talk about cooking through a liquid medium, through water. I'm not going to talk about cooking this evening without water, but we will specifically discuss cooking through the medium of water. The shear, the required amount for one to transgress the biblical violation midiraisa of bishul b'shabbos is once the shear of yad soledesbo has been reached. Yad soledesbo means when you will recoil your hand from touching the water. The Gemara explains that that is also a yad, the tinok nichvesbo, if a child's abdomen can become scalded by the heat of the water, but the Gemara does not give a particular and specific temperature whatsoever. It gives us a generic understanding for how hot something is. Either you'll recoil your hand or an abdomen of a young child will become burnt. Later halachic authorities, and I'll refer specifically now to Moshe Feinstein, understood that the shear of yad soledesbo was somewhere between 110 and 160 degrees Fahrenheit. 110 being the lowest shear, the if you want to call it the machmir shear, because if you cook something up to 110, once it hits 110, you're chayiv midiraisa. The more mekel sheets are clearly being 160 Fahrenheit because you have really till 160 until you're chayiv midiraisa. Now, clearly, a person is prohibited from cooking something at 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 Fahrenheit as well, because the concern that the Rabbanon had is once you begin cooking something that ultimately you will lead to reaching and hitting the shear of yad soledesbo. But midiraisa, we have to understand and put down that the biblical prohibition in order to be chayiv for the melach of bishul b'shabbos is specifically the shear of yad soledesbo. In order to understand and to appreciate how exactly the rules of bishul b'shabbos work, we have to appreciate that there are three types of kalim. There are three types of vessels that we're going to deal with. The first is a kli rishon, the second is a kli sheni, and the third is a kli shlishi. Kli rishon is categorized by a pot or something that is actually on the fire itself. So the item, the vessel, the pot that you are using, which is directly on top of the fire, that is what we will call a kli rishon. Now, even the vessel, once you take it off of the fire, if it still is yad soledesbo, it will still be defined as a kli rishon and will have all the halachic ramifications of a kli rishon, as we will discuss momentarily. But kli rishon, as the name sounds and intuits, is the first kli. And the first kli means any time you would cook in that vessel, which is on top of the fire, it's the immediate or it's the initial. It's the primary vessel that's being used to cook in is what we will refer to as a kli rishon. Kli sheni, again, as the name sounds, is the vessel that you have now poured the contents out from the first vessel and poured into a second vessel. So if we're talking about coffee or tea and you're using an urn on Shabbos, so the urn would be what we would consider a kli rishon. And if you're to press the spigot and the water comes out of the spigot and goes into a coffee cup or a mug or a tea cup that you're using, that teacup or that mug or that coffee mug would be called a kli sheni. It's the second vessel, the first vessel being the cooking element, the heating element, that's the urn. The second cup where it has the contents, the water has just been put in, is called the kli sheni. The third cup, or the kli shlishi, would be if you were to take the water out of the coffee mug and put it into a different coffee mug, or to put it into a different teacup, that would have the definition of a kli shlishi, and obviously we could keep on going. If you were to take the water, or the hot water at this point, out of the third cup and put it into the fourth, fifth vessel, sixth vessel, that would be called the kli revi, kli hamishi, kli shishi. But in terms of halachic gradations, the first three are really the most crucial: kli rishon, kli sheni, and kli shlishi. What then is the difference between the two? The Gemara says very clearly in Masechet Shabbos, and the Memorim Beis in Masechet Shabbos, that kli sheni ain mevashel. A second utensil can never cook. There is no potential of a second vessel that coffee mug that we've been referring to, that teacup that we've been talking to, it can't cook. So one could put, theoretically, according to the Gemara, and the baseline of the Gemara, you could put anything into a secondary cup, into the second cup, and nothing will cook. Those are the facts. Tosos has a question, and the Rishonim are bothered by this, Tosos and Mesechta Shabbos and Daf Mem Beis, that's the very basic question. If we began by explaining that the categories of cooking are based upon Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, a first vessel and a second vessel, and what does a first vessel and a second vessel have to do with Yad Soledes Bo? If the definition of Bishul B'Shabbos is Yad Soledes Bo, the time that you will recoil your hand, or the abdomen of a young baby would become scalded, so if indeed that is the Geder, if that's the definition of Bishul, then if it's in a Kli Sheni and that would happen, then a Kli Sheni should cook. If, for example, you have water that's not that hot, that doesn't reach the shear of Yad Soledes Bo, then even a Kli Rishon shouldn't have the definition of Bishul. So how do we jive these two Gemaras and these two concepts? If Bishul is defined by Yad Soledes Bo, none of these Kalim, not a first Kli, not a second Kli, or a third Kli, should really be the important factors here. Because, as I said, a Kli Rishon, if it's less than the shear of Yad Soledes Bo, it shouldn't cook. If it's in a Kli Sheni and it hits the shear of Yad Soledes Bo, either 110 or 160 Fahrenheit, like we outlined before, then it should cook. So how do we understand the difference, and why is a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni significant in light of the Gemara that says that the definition of Bishul is Yad Soledes Bo? That's the question that Tosfos raises. Tosfos explains, Lefisha Kli Rishon mitoch she'amar al ha'or dofnosav chamin. Since the Kli Rishon, the first vessel, was sitting on top of the fire, the walls of the first vessel, the Kli Rishon that was on top of the fire, are hot and warm. Umachzik chomos man merubah. That first vessel will retain and maintain a lot of heat as a result of the fact that its walls have been warmed because it was on the fire. And therefore the rabbis gave the definition and the measurement of Bishul at Yad Soledes Bo, because the walls are retained and maintain its heat. Therefore, at that point, that's when the rabbis explained and understood that a Kli Rishon, the first vessel, is going to do damage and has the definition of Bishul. Aval Kli Sheni, says Tosfos, the second vessel, Afal Gazi Yad Soledes Bo, even though in the second vessel it could also be just as hot, it also could be Yad Soledes Bo, it could have the 110 or the 160 degree Fahrenheit of the Kli Rishon, Mutar She'en Dofnosav Chamin V'Holech Mizkarer. Since the walls of the second vessel are cool and don't have the heat that the first vessel has as a result of it not being on the flame, therefore it's going to continue cooling off and cooling off and cooling off, and as such, we're not going to give it the stringency of the Kli Rishon. So therefore, we have a very important piece of information that Tosfos adds in explaining and defining how these two concepts work together. Because the first vessel's walls have become heated as a result of the fact that it's on top of the fire, therefore a Kli Rishon is fundamentally different than a Kli Sheni. Your coffee mug is much different than the first vessel, or the pot, or the kettle that it was sitting on the fire, or the urn that is being warmed by the electricity that's on the bottom of the unit. As a result of the walls being warmed, therefore the water maintains a significant amount of heat, and it's not going to cool off, and therefore the rabbis gave it the shear, the measurement of Yad Soledes Bo, as opposed to a second vessel, even though it's over 160 degrees Fahrenheit, it can even reach 180 or 200 degrees Fahrenheit, theoretically, the fact that it does not have walls that are maintaining its heat, as such, says Tosfos, therefore, in that circumstance, it will not have a problem with Bishul. So we go back to our original point. If you're working and dealing with coffee, if you'd like to put some coffee, we'll talk a little bit later about instant coffee versus fresh brewed coffee and the like, but any item, theoretically, that's placed into a Kli Sheni, according to the logic of the Gemara and Tosfos' position at this point, would be absolutely permitted to put something into that second vessel, but into the first vessel will be absolutely prohibited. However, the Gemara has a second point and a second opinion that's quoted in Halacha, which will change the facts significantly. The Gemara says that it's not exactly true that nothing can be cooked in a Kli Sheni. The Gemara explains, and we pass in from Shulchan, that there are types of foods that actually can cook even in a Kli Sheni. The Gemara gives an example, and the Shulchan Aruch passes like this, that Dag Meliach, and kulius ha'ispinin, those are types of salty fish, because of the fact that they are so easy to cook, she'enam tzrichim bishul ela ma'at, says the Shulchan Aruch. All they need is a minimal amount of bishul, very insignificant amount of bishul, hadachasan higmar malachtan, putting it into a kli sheni, or pouring water from a kli sheni onto this fish. And these types of foods that the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara are talking about are going to actually cook the food itself, and therefore the kli sheni is going to be mevashel. So the Gemara now makes a significant difference between types of foods, not between types of pots or vessels, but the type of food that's being used. Even though we said kli sheni ain mevashel, and based upon Tosos, it's because the walls of the second vessel don't maintain its heat. Nonetheless, the Gemara still understands that a kli sheni can cook certain foods if they are easy enough to be cooked. That's the Gemara's position, and that's the Gemara's opinion at this point, that it depends on the type of food that we're dealing with in the kli sheni. Now, the only thing the Gemara says is that there are certain types of foods that you still can put in the kli sheni, and they still won't cook. We only know two. The Gemara says water and oil, yayin and shemen. Water and oil, we know, will absolutely not cook in a second vessel. It seems to be the way the Rishonim understand, the Shulchan Aruch understands, and later Achronim understand, because water and because shemen, oil, needs a certain level of heat to cook, that we don't think will happen even in a kli sheni. But everything else at this point is free game. So how do we define what can be cooked, put in place into a second vessel, and what can't? So one of the Bali Tosfos, the Yireim, Rav Elazar Mimitz, in his explanation of what can and what can't cook, explains that over the centuries and over the years, we've lost an understanding of what is considered to be easily cooked and difficult to cook in a second vessel. The Yireim says we've lost our ability to be adept and to appreciate what can and cannot cook in a kli sheni, and as a result, the Yireim says nothing at all can be placed in a kli sheni. So according to the Yireim, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham quote the Yireim l'halacha, there is absolutely no difference between a kli rishon and a kli sheni, even though the Gemara says kli sheni ain't a mevasha. Nonetheless, because we don't know which foods can cook in a kli sheni, it's referred to in halacha as kale habishul. There's certain things that are easier to cook than others, and we simply don't know what those items are anymore. We don't know what types of foods we're dealing with. As a result, you cannot put anything at all into a kli sheni out of concern that it might indeed cook. So at this point, according to the Yireim, the way we paskin l'halacha, based upon the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah takes this approach as well, seemingly, that almost everything, absolutely, unless we know otherwise, we assume that it's under the category of kale habishul, that it can be cooked, and therefore it's going to be a problem. The Chazon Ish argues on the position of the Mishnah Berurah, and he says just the opposite. Unless you know it won't, it will cook, then you can place it in there. When you have a doubt, you're not sure, so until proven guilty, until you know for a fact that this item will cook in the second vessel, you absolutely can put it in. So what is uncontested is water and oil. If you want to put water, cold water, into your chicken soup bowl, once it's been spooned out or ladled out of the pot that was on the fire and putting now into the bowl on the table, that bowl has a definition of a kli sheni. A pot of chicken soup that was boiling on the flame, on the fire, has the definition of a kli rishon. If you want to add water or oil to your soup, that's not a problem, because kli sheni is not mevashel, doesn't cook water, and it doesn't cook oil. Regarding other drinks, that's a machlokes achronim, whether or not other drinks also have the same physical definition as water and oil, but nonetheless, we absolutely know positively that water or ice can be placed into a hot soup. If your kids want a little bit cooler, you can place it into your hot soup and you will not have a problem whatsoever. But outside of water and oil, at this point, a kli rishon and kli sheni essentially have the same definitions, and both are prohibited to place something in it in order to cook something else, because of the fact that a kli sheni is mevashel, kale bishel, things that are easily cooked, and that is something that we have to reckon with, that's something we have to be concerned with, and at this point we have to understand how does instant coffee, where does instant tea, and tea bags fall into this question. The only way we could appreciate and understand how to deal with that practically is understanding that there is still a difference between a kli rishon and kli sheni, and essentially we find two fundamental differences between a kli rishon and a kli sheni, regardless of the position of the Yireim, that all things are equal. The first difference that we find is that typically we say that a cold liquid, even though it's been cooked, cannot be recooked on Shabbos. We paskin yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. Any cold item, even though it's been cooked, if you have a hot tea that you cooked, and now you want to, on Erev Shabbos, and now you want to heat it up again, even though that tea has been cooked, the fact that it's cold now, you can't cook it again, because that has the halachic problem of Bishul Achar Bishul. You can't cook something twice when it comes to a liquid. However, that's only true when it comes to a Kli Rishon. You can't place a cold liquid that's already been cooked into a Kli Rishon. But into a Kli Sheni, if you want to put cold water into your tea, that's going to be permitted. Or any liquid that was cold is permitted to be placed into your Kli Sheni. So if you have take milk, for example, milk that has been pasteurized, and you want to place milk into your coffee mug, and your coffee mug is now a Kli Sheni, milk being pasteurized has the definition, according to most halachic authorities, as bishul, and therefore putting a milk into your cup of coffee will be absolutely permitted, because going into a Kli Sheni is not a problem of bishul achar bishul. The second distinction between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni is when it comes to soluble or any item that dissolves. Any dissolving item, anything that would dissolve into hot water, cannot be placed into a Kli Rishon. The reason for that is an item that dissolves also has the definition of a liquid. So therefore, you can't recook a liquid, but you only can't recook a liquid in a Kli Rishon. But you can recook a soluble item in a Kli Sheni. So here's where we get to coffee and tea. If you have something that's already been cooked, an item that has already been absolutely cooked, and it's a soluble item that's going to dissolve, if you put it into hot water, putting it into a Kli Rishon is going to be a problem. But putting it into a Kli Sheni is going to be absolutely permitted. Based upon these definitions of a Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, let's understand how coffee and tea work. Typically, there are two forms of coffee and tea that we drink. There's either the instant or there's the fresh brewed. Now, instant coffee and instant tea typically are cooked prior to you putting it into the bowl, into the mug again. There are certain teas that you could take a look at that are actually roasted, but roasting and cooking essentially has the same halachic status when it comes to making it on Shabbos. And therefore, since it's already been cooked, therefore we say that you cannot put it into a Kli Rishon. You can't put instant coffee into a on the flame, to a hot pot on the flame, but putting it into a Kli Sheni is absolutely permitted, and it's based upon that that most Jews in the world will use instant coffee and instant tea and place it into their mug and then add hot water from a Kli Rishon and put it into a Kli Sheni, and that is absolutely permitted without a doubt. Ramosha Feinstein in his Tshuvos in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet does write that according to the letter of the law that it's absolutely permitted to use instant coffee and instant tea in a Kli Sheni. He writes, Ibra dani machmil atzmi bein b'kafe namas ubein b'tzukar litein b'kli shlishi avaladine l'achmi. Even though he, Ramosha himself, writes that he's stringent, he has particular concerns about putting any instant dissolving or soluble items into a Kli Sheni because maybe it does do something. Nonetheless, Ramosha writes, according to the letter of the law, it's absolutely permitted. And typically, the position of Ramosha is the one that's followed, that using instant coffee or instant tea in a Kli Sheni does not have any other halachic concerns. Number one, because it's been cooked already. Since it's been cooked already, even though it's a dissolvable item, in a Kli Rishon it can't be used, but in a Kli Sheni it can. However, that brings us to the next issue, and that is tea bags. Now, tea bags, although they have been heated up, and although they have been heat-dried, yuvashim b'chol, nonetheless, they have not been cooked. And tea, which is in a tea bag, when it's placed in any amount of hot water, you're actually cooking the leaves. So if you're cooking the leaves, and it's easy to cook the leaves, so certainly in a Kli Rishon, just no different than instant coffee or instant tea, it's going to be a problem. But this will even raise a larger issue about putting a tea bag into a Kli Sheni, because tea bag would have the definition of kaleh habishul, something that is easily cooked, no different than any item that's easily cooked, and therefore when it comes to a Kli Sheni, it should not be placed in. So placing a tea bag into a cup or into a mug that is a secondary mug, that's a vessel that is the contents of the urn, the water has been placed from the urn into the coffee mug, that is an absolute problem. The question then becomes, how do you make tea on Shabbos? So historically speaking, the way Jews make coffee, this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, this is what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, both in Siman Shin Yuches, and you make something called tea essence. Tea essence means that you heat up hot water on Erev Shabbos, you put your bags of tea into a cup, and you allow the contents and the tea to get mixed in with hot water. You remove the tea bags before Shabbos, and you have a significant amount of hot water that's mixed up essentially with tea bags, and that's what's tea essence, and you use that on Erev Shabbos. That's the position of the Mishnah Berurah. That's the on Shabbos. That's the position of the Mishnah Berurah, and that is the position of Aruch HaShulchan. That's the standard psak, and the Mishnah Berurah takes a very stringent position here, and he quotes in the Sharati and many Gedolei Achron and many of the great halachic authorities who preceded him who understood that that was the way to go. And the reason for that is because it's Kali Abishal. It's easy to cook, and anything that's easy to cook cannot be placed in a Kli Sheni. What about a Kli Shlishi, as we began talking about earlier? There are three levels of kalim, of vessels, when it comes to Shabbos. There's the Kli Rishon, there's the Kli Sheni, and then there's the Kli Shlishi. So the Mishnah Berurah, seemingly, as well as the Aruch HaShulchan, are of the opinion that there's no difference. A Kli Sheni and a Kli Shlishi, both of them cook just as easily. If you're talking about something that cooks easily, there shouldn't be a difference if you take its contents from a Sheni to a Shlishi, or even a Ravi and a Chamishi. According to the Ram, as far as you go, the facts are in front of us. Take a look at the tea bag, look at the tea, the water has become the tea bag, and as a result, a Kli Shlishi wouldn't make a difference whatsoever, and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't entertain using a Kli Shlishi when it comes to tea specifically. However, things changed some 60 years ago. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a monumental tshuva to Chelek Dalet, where he writes, La'anius daiti, Chelek Dalet, Simenayan Dalet, Ot Tesvav, and Bishol, Lo nirekla lomar dika dvarm shemispashtam the Kli Shlishi. Moshe Feinstein writes that he does not believe that there's anything that could cook in the third vessel. Although there are things that the Gemara explained can cook in a second vessel, we explained certain types of fish and certain types of foods are easily cooked in a second vessel, says Rav Moshe, the Gemara only entertained it in a second vessel. But we never find the Gemara ever talking about a Kli Shlishi. It's not something that was ever written about or discussed. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, since we only find in a second vessel that there are items that cooked, however, when it comes to a third vessel, we have not found any item that comes cooked, according to Chazal, according to the Gemara, according to the Rishon, that cooks in a second vessel, and therefore, according to Moshe, one would be permitted to put a tea bag into a Kli Shlishi. You would take the contents of the water from the urn, pour it into a second vessel, take the second vessel, pour it into a third vessel, and at that point you could place your tea bag, according to Moshe Feinstein, into the third vessel, and that would be permitted on Shabbos, but certainly not in a Kli Sheni, and at least, at earliest, according to Moshe, the only thing that would be permitted is using a Kli Shlishi. But according to all authorities that preceded Moshe Feinstein, even a Kli Shlishi would be a problem, according to the Reim, according to Mishnah Berurah, according to Aruch HaShulchan. That concludes our discussion of tea and instant coffee and instant tea for this evening. We'll pick up with this next week. Have a good night.